Welcome to our services here at Azalea City Church of Christ. We are not worshiping the way we thought. However, we are excited to be able to come to you today through this avenue. Now, I will say that we are going to get back started next week, but the elders, because of the storm and because of the rain and everything with trying to take temperatures and all the other stuff, that they said, hey, let's put it off till next week. So we're doing it the same way we have been doing it for the last, 13 weeks or
12, I think. 12. This is the 12th,
yeah. It all runs together. So, but anyhow, we're glad you're here. And we have had some join us this morning. And so let me say welcome to those who are here. And certainly we're excited to be able to get back to normal. We were set up. We have pews marked off. We've got the building is spotless thanks to Bob Hankins and Wanda. And again, it's just, we got a lot of great servants around here, and we're getting this thing rolling. And I was ready to, I was going to put welcome back on the front of the bulletin. I guess probably a good thing I didn't, because it'll be a week late. But anyhow, we're glad to be able to come. And Justin and I do have, we believe, a very challenging lesson, but also a very timely lesson prepared today. But we are going to enter into our worship just like we have been the last several weeks. And so in just a moment, we're going to go to song. And then when we come back, we'll open with scripture and prayer, and we'll go from there. But we love you. Since we're still live streamed, if you want to go ahead and like and share and let everybody else know that we're worshiping in truth and love here at Azalea City, we would certainly appreciate that as well. But we'll go to song now, and then we'll get back and have scripture reading and prayer. Sorry, y'all. But hey, you'll see how it goes. I know. Absolutely. And you know, it's one of those things the elders.
I'd like to read from James chapter 3, starting in verse 13 this morning. James chapter 3, we're going to read verses 13 through 18. Who is wise and understanding among you? By his good conduct, let him show his works in the meekness of wisdom. But if you have bitter jealousy and selfish ambition in your hearts, do not boast and be false to the truth. This is not the wisdom that comes down from above, but is earthly, unspiritual, demonic. For where jealousy and selfish ambition exist, there will be disorder in every vile practice. But the wisdom from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, open to reason, full of mercy and good fruits, impartial and sincere. And a harvest of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace Let's pray together this morning. Father, we have so much to be thankful for. We are in the midst of a chaotic world with things that are going on in our society, with social injustice and just some crazy things that have taken place. Father, also with this pandemic. God, I pray that as Christians we can be a great part of the solution and not a contributor to the problem. Father, I pray in times like this we can still look to You, that we can rejoice in all the great things that You have blessed us with. Father, I pray truly that we can be peacemakers. Father, I pray that You will give us the hearts. Pray that You will give us the wisdom and the understanding to treat people just as Jesus would treat them. Father, thank You for Jesus. Thank You for sending Him to die on the cross so that we can have the forgiveness of our sins. I'm so thankful for the example that He has set forth for us to live by. Father, I pray that we will strive each and every day to be more like Jesus and to treat people more like Jesus. Thank You for the blessings that You give us. Thank You for the talents that You give us. And God, I pray that we will strive to use those every day to help further Your kingdom. Father, I pray that You will be with our church family. I know today was a day of great anticipation that we wanted to join together. But Father, I pray that You will just help us to endure maybe one more week. And Father, I pray that we can work it out to where we can all be together next week. Father, I pray that You will bless our worship this morning. Even though, again, we're not together specifically in one place, I pray that You will help us to certainly focus our hearts and our minds, our full attention on You. Father, I pray that You will get all the praise and honor and glory that You deserve this morning. Father, I pray that You will bless us as a church family and help us to certainly be peacemakers. Help us to work out our problems with each other. Help us to remain strong, to continue to strengthen the relationships we have with each other so that we can strengthen the relationship that we have with You. Father, help us to be bold. Help us to be caring. Help us to be empathetic people. And most importantly, help us to be loving people. Father, again, thank You for this great day. Pray that You'll keep us safe through the path of the storm and all those that are in its way. And pray that You will limit the amount of damage that may be done today and over the next couple of days. Father, I pray that You'll bless us in this moment. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. Now to prepare our mind for the Lord's Supper this morning, we're going to have another song.
Thank you.
That song is one of my favorite songs in all of our songbooks. We all should be shouting this morning, Hallelujah, what a Savior. But there's another song in our songbooks that we have not maybe sung in a while per se, but it's one that I love the lyrics to. And the title of the song is, If That Isn't Love. And to prepare our minds today, not only thinking about Hallelujah, what a Savior, but we want to think about Jesus on the cross. What kept Him on the cross? Well, it was you and me, and it was love. It wasn't the spikes, it wasn't the threats, it wasn't the loss of blood. It was the love He had so that we could be saved. These words go, He left the splendor of heaven, knowing His destiny was the lonely hill of Golgotha, there to lay down His life for me. If that isn't love, the ocean is dry. There's no stars in the sky, and the sparrow can't fly. If that isn't love, then heaven's a myth. There's no feeling like this if that isn't love. Even in death, He remembered the thief hanging by His side. He spoke with love and compassion. Then He took him to paradise. If that isn't love, the ocean is dry. There's no stars in the sky, and the sparrow can't fly. If that isn't love, then heaven's a myth. There's no feeling like this if that isn't love. I'm so thankful that Jesus stayed on the cross. I'm so thankful that even though it's terrible and it's heart-wrenching to read that story, I'm so thankful that God allowed it and Jesus willingly did it to have His body broken. Not bones, but His body broken up. His blood spilled all over the cross, all over the ground below, all over His body. And because of that, that love, we today can not only worship, we can not only have hope for heaven, but we can even partake of this communion, this Lord's Supper together. As we go to God in prayer, and as we partake of this bread and this cup today, it is our prayer, it is our hope that we will focus on Jesus, focus on His love, and focus on the sacrifice that He made. Let's pray together. Dear Father, we come to You shouting this morning, Hallelujah, what a Savior. Father, we're so thankful that that was love that was shed on the cross for us. Jesus coming from heaven to earth, knowing that Golgotha was His ultimate destination. Father, that is the ultimate sacrifice. It is the ultimate show of love. And Father, today as we commune together, even Father, if we're here in this building or we're in our homes, Father, we know that Jesus in heaven is smiling down, knowing that the example He left for His disciples to do is still being done today until we can partake of it with Him one day in heaven together. Father, I pray that we will remember Jesus Christ's body on the cross, how it was broken up and bruised up and beaten up for each and every one of us. Father, I pray that as we partake of this bread, that we will remember that tremendous sacrifice. It's our prayer in Christ's name. Amen.
Let's continue our prayer this morning. Father, again, we are so thankful for Jesus. We're thankful for the blood that He spilled on our behalf that truly can give us a clean slate, that can make us perfect and complete in Your eyes, that can bridge the gap between us and You. Father, I pray that as we partake of this blood this morning, of this fruit of the vine, God, I pray that You will help us to have the right mindset. I pray that we can certainly focus our thoughts and our attention back to that cross and the beating and the rejection and isolation that Jesus felt, knowing that He did it for us, knowing that He did it because He loved us enough to offer us a way into eternity with You. And Father, we're so thankful for that, and I pray that we will do a great job in honoring Him this morning. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.
That ends the Lord's Supper. But just like if we were here, we would use this time as an opportunity, as convenience, to give to God. And certainly, even next week when we come back together, that will still be a little different because we won't pass plates or what have you. But certainly, we are commanded to give. And just like God gave His best to us, that's John 3:16. That God, the greatest giver, gave the best gift to the greatest need. We are to give back to Him. Now, money is nothing to God. Gold is asphalt to Him. But it's our hearts. It's the sacrifice. It's the appreciation. And so, as we have prepared in our hearts the amount that we're going to give, I want to thank God for the blessings we have. And then remember, we can give all sorts of ways. You can continue to mail your contribution or give online through our website or through the app. And so thank you for your generosity. But let's thank God for His generosity and the blessings He's given us. Father, we're so thankful to You and so appreciative to You for what You've done for us. Father, I know oftentimes maybe we don't show how appreciative we are, or at least we fail to do that all the time. And Father, I pray for forgiveness on those levels, and I pray, Father, that we'll always strive to be more thankful, to be more generous, to be more sacrificial to You each and every day. Father, I pray that, yes, we'll give of our means, but I pray that we'll give of our time, we'll give of our hearts, we'll give of our minds, our souls, to the work of Your kingdom. Father, it truly is the greatest investment that we could ever make to be a part of the kingdom. And Father, one day we know that as being members of Your church, we'll be members of heaven with You. And Father, for that, there is no amount that we could ever repay. But I'm so thankful for Your amazing grace, and I'm so thankful for Your mercy, and I'm so thankful for the sacrifice of Your Son. We offer this prayer in His name. Amen. As we enter into our lesson today, I believe that I never want to be political. I have my views, and Justin has his views on certain things, and so I do not mean for this lesson to be political, but I do mean for this lesson to be timely. In today's world, there's a lot of conflict going on. There's conflict going on with the virus. There are each sides of the political fence arguing with one another. There are people that maybe do not feel as strongly as others about certain things. But we do recognize that there is a virus. And that virus is causing death. And so somewhere along the way, we as Christians have a responsibility to be a peacemaker. We look out and we see the horrific things that happened to Mr. Floyd. A life that was lost unnecessarily. And then we see responses. And then we hear other responses on each side of the fence that says, this is right or this is wrong, and all the responses. And again, we as Christians have a responsibility to be a peacemaker. We can't take away that something bad happened. And we can't take away that yes, unfortunately, there are still those in this world that do not look at others through the eyes of Jesus. But Jesus knew this. There were people killed in the New Testament that we've already talked about because of their faith. There were people that were ridiculed in Jesus' day because of their nationality, because of their ancestry. There are all kinds of things that are happening in our world today that result from the main virus of sin. Jesus knew this. And so I believe with all my heart, that's why in the beginning of the greatest sermon ever told, when He was going to rock the foundation of the way people looked at religion and the way people looked at people and the way people looked at the heart, He started with attitudes that we all ought to be. And in that, in Matthew chapter 5, verse 9, He very plainly said, "Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God." That's not Justin's words. It's not my words. It's the words of Jesus Christ. The man who was killed because of His teachings. He never did one thing wrong. But He was put on a cross at Golgotha because of His beliefs and teachings. You know, the Apostle Paul then carries it another step further. We've talked about all these things. In Romans 12, we had a class on it several weeks ago now. But Paul there in Romans 12, 18, through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit and through the motivation of what Christ said, I believe, in Matthew 5, He said, "If it is possible, as much as depends on you, live peaceably with all men." Justin and I's challenge today in this, I mean, just very cruel and unjust world and troubled world is to try to challenge all of us not to get wrapped up in our personal thoughts and maybe our personal beliefs and maybe the way we were raised or the way we view this and the way we view that, but look at things through the eyes of Jesus Christ. And as much as depends on us, live peaceably and be peacemakers with all men.
That's something that we can control. There are things in our lives that we can control, that we need to control. There are things in our lives that are outside of our control.
Right.
Okay? Let me start that with saying, there's connection issues today.
Sure.
That is outside of our control.
Right.
Right? And I know a lot of people are hanging in there. I appreciate that. I'm so thankful for Robert and Theo for really doing their absolute best to make sure that this message stays clear. Right?
I left
and that everybody
today, so I can't tell.
Completely okay. I like your new one. But there are things that we can control in life. Again, the storm is not one of them. The coronavirus is not one of them. Connection issues is not one of them. You and I living peaceably with all men, as much as depends on us, yes, we can control that.
Right.
So here's a couple things getting into this. Like, there are things that peacemaking is not. It's not the absence of conflict. If so, Jesus probably wouldn't have said it, because throughout His entire life, throughout His entire ministry, there was conflict,
right?
Throughout the entire human history, there has been conflict. So peacemaking is not the absence of conflict. It's not sticking our heads in the sand and avoiding problems, right? It's not just running from issues. No, that's not how it is.
Right.
There's going to be strife in our life. There'll be conflict. There's issues that we have to address. But if we run from them, we're just delaying the inevitable,
sure,
right? It's going to come back at some point in time. Somebody who glosses over problems all the time or runs from them is not being a peacemaker. All right, we're gonna break that word down here in a minute. But it's also not the appeasement of everyone. Paul says there in Romans chapter 12 and verse 18, if it is possible.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so do your absolute best to make peace with people. Sometimes not everybody's gonna be happy.
Correct.
Jesus did His absolute best to make peace with people.
And they killed Him.
And they killed Him.
Yeah.
but there was always a group of people that hated him or despised him. We've been studying Acts, and we're going to push that study of Acts to our Wednesday night Bible class,
right.
I believe. So, because hopefully, or sure. Well, thinking we're going to be going for a little bit longer with that Wednesday night. But throughout the book of Acts, we've seen the apostles have been doing so many great things through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. People are always mad,
right.
Or upset, or causing some kind of strife or contention. So if it is possible, we need to make sure that we are living in peace with people, right? Again, peacemaking is not the absence of conflict. It's not the avoidance of a strife, and it's not the appeasement of everyone all the time. But a peacemaker is someone who is actively seeking, right, to reconcile people to God and reconcile people to one another. Okay, so again, it's active. When you break it down, it's simple because it's a compound word and it means peace maker. It's not a peace wisher or peace hoper or peace lover or dreamer. No, it's not a peace talker. It's a peace maker. It's people that are actively seeking to make peace. They're the type of people that are trying their absolute best to produce the right relationships in every facet of life. Right, we're not avoiding problems all the time. We're not trying to appease everybody, but we're doing our absolute best actively trying to sow peace.
That's exactly right. And Paul was one who understood this.
Yep.
We already referenced Romans 12. And, you know, so we're going to get into some more teachings of his in just a moment. But the question has to be then, especially if I'm struggling with this, what are some things I can do? Well, practically, some things we can do is, you know, for me, I've had to quit looking at social media so much, especially Twitter. If you have no idea what Twitter is, then you are a lot better off than most people on the planet. But because if you're not careful, you can get on there and your blood can boil one way or the other.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm thinking, why would I want more of that in my life? So if I'm going to be a peacemaker, then I need to not take in so much garbage, I guess, or maybe turn off the news or whatever and watch some show that's funny. You love Andy Griffith. You know,
love
Andy Griffith.
It. Yeah.
You should, maybe we should turn on more Andy Griffith, right?
Yeah.
But the fact of the matter is, those are some practical things we can do, but we're going to give you some spiritual things
mm-hmm.
that you can do. But so to kind of set the scene, though, I want you to turn with me to Philippians chapter 1, and then we'll flip over and read some and really kind of all the chapters,
mm-hmm.
if you will. But just in Philippians 1, verse 27, I think this is very applicable to what we need to be. Paul said, "Only let your conduct be worthy of the gospel of Christ, so that whether I come and see you or am absent, I may hear of your affairs, that you stand fast in one spirit with one mind, mm-hmm. striving together for the faith of the gospel." So just quickly there, Justin, I would say, and I know you may have some comments, so I would just say here, we got to remember what our goal is.
Mm-hmm.
Our goal is to not take away all the conflict in the world, because
right.
we can't do that.
Yep.
Jesus couldn't do that. I mean, he could have wiped the world out, but you understand what I mean by that. That's not our goal. Our goal is to bring peace where we can bring peace and to let our light shine where we can let our light shine. Then in Philippians 2, verses 1 through 4, "Therefore, if there is any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any affection and mercy, fulfill my joy by being like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind let each esteem others better than himself. Let each of you look not out only for his own interest, but also for the interest of others." Then verses 14 and 15, "Do all things without complaining and disputing, that you may become blameless and harmless children of God, without fault in the midst of a," here we are, "crooked mm-hmm. and perverse generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world." Then Philippians 3:16, "Nevertheless, to the degree that we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule, let us be of the same mind." We could go on and on.
That's
Philippians
right.
4:1-9, mm-hmm. Paul's talking about the same kind
yep.
of stuff.
And this goes back to, I mean, here in the church, we always say we're trying to mimic or be a reflection of what the church was when it was established
right.
there in the first century. And we've read this before in man, weeks ago in one of our sermons, but we always try to strive to live this way. It's Acts chapter 2, verses 42 through 47. And they devoted themselves. Like, we need to remember how much we need to be devoted to each other through all this. Devoted being a peacemaker. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and prayers. And all came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles. Now, we don't have that privilege, right? That miraculous working of the Holy Spirit where we're doing wonders and signs. But either way, in verse 44 it says, and all who believed were together. Again, that being together and having all things in common. And they were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing the proceeds to all as any had need. And day by day, attending the temple together and breaking bread in their homes, they received their food with gladness and generous hearts, praising God and having favor, peace with all people, right? And the Lord added to their number day by day those who were being saved.
So does peace have anything to do with gospel spreading and people coming to know Jesus?
Doesn't it? I mean, to be a peacemaker, again, it's that the idea of what a peacemaker is reconciling people to God and people back to people.
Right.
We're going to look here in a minute, something we've studied as well a few weeks ago. There is always going to be strife. There's going to be conflict because we just live in a dark and a broken world.
Right.
And it may not be bad all the time. I don't want to steal what you're going to say later, but we talk about confrontation from time to time. And we discussed this a few minutes ago, that confrontation has a negative connotation.
It sure does.
But it's not. It's not intended to be that way. It's just a conversation.
Yeah.
It's just two people together. That's a confrontation. And it doesn't have to be negative all the time. Hey, we may have issues. You and I may not agree on everything.
Right.
But if we're living like Jesus wants us to live, we're going to talk about that and not talk about each other.
And maybe, Justin, to be real, we've had very few disagreements.
Sure.
But we have had some. But you know what we did? And by the way, it broke our hearts to do that. But we didn't let a bunch of time go through. We didn't spread a whole lot of gossip. We got together and we talked it out.
Right.
Now, again, we were both trying to grow the kingdom. It was just maybe different. And so I want you to know, just being real, Justin and I are best friends, and we work together, but sometimes you have some disagreements.
Mm-hmm.
We're still friends today. We still love each other today. You know, those things happen. And again, I want you to know that it's going to happen in the church.
That's right.
Does it happen with you and your family sometimes?
Everyone.
It happens
in a while.
With mine. You can't keep conflict out of your family, even though we may try. But what do? You work on it together. And that's what we are. We're the family of God. And so, yes, Paul understood that. And Euodia and Syntyche, who we're going to talk about again briefly this morning, I want to read really the text of kind of where some of these points come from. Philippians chapter 4 now, 1 through 9. But this is a great book. I told you how much I love this book. But listen to what Paul said. Therefore, my beloved and longed for brethren. That's not people that he couldn't stand to be around. He's in prison. He wanted to see them. He said, my joy and crown, so stand fast in the Lord, beloved. I implore Euodia and I implore Syntyche to be of the same mind in the Lord. And I urge you, again, that's what he's talked about for three chapters now.
Mm-hmm.
Getting to the point that, hey, we want them to be of the same mind. I urge you also, true companion, help these women who labored with me in the gospel, with Clement also and the rest of my fellow workers whose names are in the book of life. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I'll say rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to all men. The Lord's at hand. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue, if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things.
Mm-hmm.
The things which you learned and received and heard and saw in me, these do. And the God of peace will be with you.
Paul, in this chapter here, right? I know it wasn't necessarily a chapter that he was writing, but he has this mindset that, hey, these are fellow workers.
Right.
They belong together. They belong in the church. They belong working together. They belong to Christ. He is imploring them. He is encouraging them. We need to remember that's exactly the message of Jesus, that everyone belongs.
That's right. Right?
John chapter 8. I know it's very familiar to us all. And in verses 3 through 11, we'll just paraphrase it, but there was a woman caught in the very act of adultery that is thrown at the feet of Jesus. And these Pharisees are like, having stones in their hands, they want to kill her because, hey, the old law says if you're caught in the act of adultery, you can be put to death by stoning.
Right.
Jesus, we need to kill her.
Yeah.
Right? And Jesus, what he writes in the sand, maybe we'll never know. Maybe he's writing the names of the people there. Maybe he's writing their sins. Who knows? But he writes in the sand, and he stands up and says, hey, any one of you that doesn't have a sin, go ahead. You cast that first stone. And I find it interesting that one by one, from the oldest, maybe the wisest among the ignorant there, the oldest to the youngest, they dropped their stones and they walked away. And he looks at the woman and says, where are your accusers? She said, man, they're gone.
Yeah.
And here's Jesus saying, well, guess what? You belong to me.
That's right.
Because of them, because there are no accusers, I don't condemn you either. Get up, rise up, walk away, go and sin no more. Right, there's this idea we always talk about a lot. Come as you are. Come to our church as you are. Come to Jesus Christ as you are. As dirty, broken, sinful as you can be. But don't stay that way. Jesus brings about change, right? About redemption, right? We need to change, but we also need to remember first that you belong. And we need to have that same message that everyone out in our society, everyone belongs to the blood of Jesus Christ.
Very well said. And that is the first thing that we've got to come to grips with. If we're going to be peacemakers, is like you just said it out of your mouth. Everyone belongs. God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. So, going back to John 8, great story. And that was in Justin's notes. I didn't have it in mind, but it triggered a thought. Speaking of peacemakers, now Christ is the ultimate peacemaker. Now, hey, He stood for the truth,
right.
and He stood His ground, and He did it all in love. I mean, even when He turned tables over, He was doing it in love, okay? But, and I'm not saying that Jesus had to do this then, and we have no idea what He drew in the sand, but when I preached that lesson a number of different ways, a number of different times over the years, and so, but one time I preached it that we have to take time to draw in the sand. Somebody confronts you, and you know the first thing we want to do, we're in a corner and we want to come out fighting. You know, we draw back like I'm about to knock you out with my words or maybe with my fist. But sometimes we got to take some time, and He didn't react. Jesus didn't speak up right away. He drew in the dirt. Now, what did He draw? Did He draw their sins? Did He draw? I have no idea. Did He draw the laws that they had broken? I have no idea. But here's what I do know. He didn't say many words there. But boy, He spoke very, very strongly there.
Right.
And so, you know, but He taught that lady, you belong. We've got to take time out and reflect and remember that others belong. Paul didn't say, take Euodia and Syntyche and kick them out of the church.
Mm-hmm.
He said, no, work it out because they belong. They belong. And, you know, there are souls out there that belong. Paul wanted these two women to be unified again together. That was His desire. He wanted the church to help them to remember they belong. Where do they belong? In the church, in the Lamb's Book of Life. Here's some things I want to point out with you. Four things under this first point that I want you to remember about God. About you, about me, about all of us, about those out there that are hurting each other and doing things and everything that's going on in our world today, remember this is where God stands. Number one, God loves us so much that He wants to call us His child or children. 1 John 3, verse 1, see how much the Father has loved us. His love is so great that we are called God's children. And so, in fact, we are. This is why the world does not know us. It is not known. It has not known God. You know, and that's so true. Those people out there that are hurting each other, whether it be verbally or physically, they don't know God. And we've got an opportunity to do that. Secondly, talking about you belong, God won't pull His love away from you. I want you to remember another passage we've talked about over the course of this live stream quarantine pandemic. For I am certain that nothing can separate us from His love. Neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor other heavenly rulers or powers, neither the present nor the future, neither the world above nor the world below. There is nothing in all creation that will ever be able to separate us from the love of God, which is ours, through Christ Jesus our Lord, Romans 8:37-39. So thirdly, remember, talking about you belong, God takes pleasure in your presence in His life. Psalm 147:11, but He takes pleasure in those who honor Him, in those who trust in His constant love. And then finally, God gives His grace and mercy to you, to me, generously. Our high priest is not one who cannot feel sympathy for our weaknesses. On the contrary, we have a high priest who has been tempted in every way that we are, but did not sin. Let us have confidence then and approach God's throne. Where there is grace, there we will receive mercy and find grace to help us just when we need it. Hebrews 4:15-16. We are all outcasts, but when we are added to the blood, to the kingdom, we can all stand in unison and say, we belong.
Jesus was the ultimate peacemaker. Right. You just spent time describing that. There's a couple of other verses I'd like to share about that. Like, He paid the enormous price so we can experience peace.
Right.
Right. At the time of John 8, He had not paid the price. He knew He was going to. But now He has paid that enormous price, shedding His entire body, or His body, and also shedding His blood.
Right.
So that we can experience peace. So that we can go out and make peace, or help make peace in our society. Colossians 1:19-20 reads, "For in Him all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell, and through Him to reconcile to Himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven, making peace by the blood of His cross." And then also in Ephesians 2, I read verses 13-15, says, "But now in Christ Jesus, who once were far off, have been brought near by the blood of Christ. For He Himself is our peace, who has made us both one and has broken down in His flesh the dividing wall of hostility." You're going to talk about building walls here in a minute. "By abolishing the law of commandments expressed in ordinances, that He might create in Himself one new man in the place of the two, so making peace." In verse 16, "and might reconcile us both to God in one body through the cross, thereby killing the hostility."
That's right.
Jesus Christ is the ultimate, ultimate peacemaker. Right? He went to the cross. He made peace by shedding His blood to give us that experience of peace, that opportunity to experience peace. And because of that, we can rejoice.
That's right. And that leads us to the second point. And we find in Philippians 4, we find it throughout the Bible, Paul's talking about Euodia and Syntyche in this context. Hey, remind them they belong.
Mm-hmm.
Remind those people that are outside that maybe have slipped away, or maybe they got upset and maybe you got mad at them or whatever it may be. Let's make up where we can make up. We'll talk more about that in a moment.
Mm-hmm.
But we got to remember, hey, everybody belongs.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody has a spot if they will willingly fill it. But the second thing Paul said is, don't focus on the negative, the miserable, the sadness, the trouble. He said, no, he didn't say any of that. He said, rejoice. Rejoice in the Lord. How often? Always. And again, I'll say rejoice. You know, in this pandemic, I'm tired of not being together. I just 100% am telling you that. I'm tired of it. And next Sunday, I can't wait, okay? I can't wait for, again, it won't be everybody, but many of us that are ready to be back together will be back together, and we'll be separated by pews and all that stuff. But it'll be some sense of normalcy, and I can't wait for that. But here's the thing. We've got so much negative to focus on. We can focus on the pandemic. We can focus on the virus. We can focus on cruel deaths. We can focus on riots. We can focus on protests. We can focus on race. We can focus on political opposition. Man, there's so much negative. Job losses, job gains, economy scratching. All these things we can focus on. Paul didn't say any of that. He's in prison, by the way, and he said, rejoice.
Mm-hmm.
Rejoice. We have so much as Christians to be excited about. There should be no reason for each of us to grumble or to complain. Let me tell you, the last time I did this, I said this, I was speaking on compassion. And I was talking about what the word means. It literally means a moving in our stomach. And I know that's terrible, but it's like a bowel movement. It's kind of the same mindset there. And I was telling you that I was talking about how the J. Turner children, and I was getting my hair cut, and my barber, Julie, and by the way, Julie would be mortified if I was telling this because she does everything without to be known. But I just got to tell you, it moved me, okay? And you remember I walked down the stage and I put in the money that she gave for those children. Somebody doesn't worship here, but she was moved with compassion. Well, Friday, I was getting my hair cut, and she brought those children back up. And she gave $100. Again, this lady's been out of work. Now, remember how long barbershops were closed. She gave $100, I gave to Justin this morning, for those children, again, to be able to have food to eat. Now, listen, that is something to rejoice over. Mm-hmm. That is something to be happy about. You see, here at Isaiah City, we know that God blesses us with the increase. We plant, we water, God supplies the increase. We have good elders. If you think that the decision to shut down services, to open up services, to shut down services again this morning, if you think those things are just something, and I know you don't, okay, let me say that. Those, and Justin and I are part, I mean, we don't make the decisions, but we're part of the discussion. Man, those, they're laboring over this stuff. They are laboring over it. And so we have good elders who are striving to do. We can rejoice over that. There are churches out there that don't have any elders. There are churches out there that have elders that have maybe an agenda or what have you. We have good Bible-based elders. We have servants all around us. Tina is going to also kill me.
Yes, she is.
Tina, and you just, I'm just, hey, I'll send me to heaven, all right? You have to kill me here. Tina Hood, Gracie, Ethan, and Chris. Now, Chris has to work. Chris will work sometimes till 2 in the morning. Tina will get up at 2 in the morning with him, whatever. And I don't know how many days straight it's been. They've been here early in the morning till late in the evening. You know why? To get our children ready for their new outdoor Bible book. Tina had a plan. She had a vision. The elders approved it, and she lined us out.
No question.
But she did a lot of the labor.
She did great.
Up until, goodness, late Friday, they were doing stuff. That's a servant family who would never, ever want you to know it's her.
That's right.
Bob and Wanda Hankins, they were up here Friday all day long. Marking off pews. This place is spotless. I mean, I walked to the restroom in the foyer. My feet were squeaking on that floor. It is spotless in this place, man.
Yep.
I mean, like, we were getting ready to put it on the market, you know, kind of. You know how you get your house ready if you're going to do that.
We're not doing that, by the way.
No, we're not. But I'm just saying. And I could go on and on. Glenda and Robin, Justin. I mean, I could go on and on with people who are working so hard. Lorraine Inkey went around and got all those big, I mean, just so much going on. We've got a lot. Here's what it boils down to. We've got a lot to rejoice about.
Yes, we do. You want me to tag in?
Yeah.
Thanks.
Go ahead.
You have done so well the last few minutes. I'm going to read this because I actually got this from a commentary. But it says here that no one can truly be at peace until they've made peace with God.
Ooh.
There will be no peace of God until you're at peace with God.
Amen.
And Paul writes in Romans chapter 5 and verse 1 that since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. So you must make peace with God through Jesus Christ or you'll never have the peace of God and will never be at peace with God.
Well said.
I didn't. Not my words. And you're exactly right. That's why I just copied them down. I was like, I'll get tongue-tied trying to read all of that. You've got to make peace with God through Jesus Christ, or you'll never have the peace of God, and will never be at peace with God. A lot of the turmoil going on in our society today are people that are not at peace with God.
Right.
And because they're not at peace with God, they do not have peace in themselves.
Right.
And because they're not at peace with God, they don't have faith, nor do they have peace through Jesus Christ.
That's right.
Remember, He brought us peace through the cross.
It's only Jesus that brings peace.
That's it. We can go out and be peacemakers, but we're only following the true peacemaker.
Right.
Right? The best example there ever was Jesus Christ. And He did not avoid conflict.
That's right.
He did not avoid problems and situations. He didn't avoid the hard conversations. He didn't try to make everyone happy. That's not the idea of being a Christian. Sometimes when I'm in the wrong and if you point me out, it's not going to make me happy.
Right. None of us.
But it's seeking to make peace.
Sure.
Right? And that's where we have to be. Again, we have so much. You're so right. We have so much to rejoice about. But it's all because of Jesus Christ. And if I can be at peace with Jesus Christ, I can have peace in my own life when I'm at peace with God.
That's exactly right. So, just to kind of recap, how are we going to be peacemakers? How are we going to be what Jesus called us to be? Number one, remind ourselves and others that everybody belongs.
Mm-hmm.
When you look at people through the eyes of Jesus, say, hey, they belong in the church.
That's right.
Boy, that changes your perspective on the way you view things. Secondly, rejoice. Don't gripe. Don't grumble. Don't complain. Rejoice. Let's counter all that negativity with rejoicing. But thirdly, again, Paul's writing the script here. I'm just kind of pulling it out. He says in the very next verse in Philippians 4, verse 5, let your gentleness be known to all men. And that's mankind. Okay, that's not just a male. So here I've been able to come up with some things that you know, I'm a simple-minded person, Justin. Mm-hmm. I need things to be just like, boom, there it is, and I get that, okay? If the plan's too complicated, I'm like, I'm going to move on to another plan, okay? I like simple-minded stuff. So, you know, when you're a little kid, what do you learn? One of the first things you learn are your ABCs. So we're going to get down to the ABCs of being gentle. Mm-hmm. How can I do that? Number one, A is admit. Admit when we're wrong. Admit when there's an issue. Admit when we need to change. Admit when we've got a problem. Okay? Here's how, again, the words of Christ, here's what He said, Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 5, 22 through 24. But I say to you that whoever is angry with his brother. Now, when we talked about this, I want to remind you of two things. Everybody's our brother. Through Adam, through Noah, through Jesus. Okay? So we can look at it as brothers and sisters in Christ or brothers and sisters in Adam. Okay? But I say to you that whoever is angry with his brother without a cause, isn't that how things go awry? Listen, these are not words we should take lightly. Shall be in danger of the judgment. And whoever says to his brother, Rakah, shall be in danger of the council. But whoever says, you fool, shall be in danger of hellfire. Therefore, if you bring your gift to the altar, now remember, that's how they worshiped, okay? I guess we'd say it today. If you bring your heart, your soul, your mind to worship, and you've got a problem with your brother, okay? You remember that your brother has something against you. Leave your gift there before the altar and go your way. First be reconciled to your brother and then come and offer your gift. That's admit. We got to admit there's an issue. Secondly, then we got to build. Admit, build. Build bridges where we can build bridges. Build peace where we can build peace. Romans 14, 19. Therefore, let us pursue the things which make for peace and the things by which one may edify or build up another. Listen, it doesn't take long to destroy something. You know, demolition work is probably it's hard work, but it's some of the quickest work you can do. You know, if you wanted to tear a building down, you could get the right equipment and have it torn down pretty quickly. But to build something takes a long time. It takes much longer to do. And so that's why it's so important that we build where we can build. We admit when we're wrong so we can build, put another brick in the bridge or another log in the bridge or whatever we got to do it. And then thirdly, like Justin said earlier, this word has a negative connotation, but it doesn't have to be negative. We confront where we have to confront. And that's Ephesians 4:15. We do it in love, speaking the truth in love. You know, Paul and Peter had a conflict. Mm-hmm. And that's something we'll talk more about later when we're studying on Wednesday nights. But Peter, even though he had the vision that we talked about and he knew that he needed to go to Cornelius and he finally figured it out in the next chapter, later on he doesn't want to associate with the Gentiles or whatever, and Paul calls him out on it. He says, hey, you're wrong. You're wrong on that. And I like to think that you know, Peter's like, a light bulb went off again, and it doesn't appear that he ever had that issue again. But my point of it is, that was a confrontation, but it was done in love. And that's, again, it's not comfortable, but if we remember the ABCs, stick to the basics, admit, build, confront, then you know what we're going to do? We're going to be able to display gentleness.
Yes. And I'll just have one verse to add to that, or Psalm chapter 37, verse 37 and 38 says, mark the blameless and behold the upright, for there is a future for the man of peace. There's a future for the man that displays gentleness, right? The man that can rejoice. But the transgressors shall be altogether destroyed. The future of the wicked shall be cut off. We need to be men and women of peace.
Right.
Because if so, there's a future for us.
That's right.
Right? And I would like to think of that being an eternal future, right? That we need to make sure that we're displaying gentleness. Exactly. When we go confront somebody, we don't need to go beat them up over it or show how the Pharisees and the hypocrites did, that poke our chest down and
right.
say, hey, you need to be living like I'm living.
Right?
No, we do it in a gentle and a loving fashion, just as Jesus did, right?
Absolutely. Just to recap now, we're getting to the end here. How can I be a peacemaker? Number one, remember, we all belong. Number two, we got a lot to rejoice over. Number three, I need to be gentle. And then number four, Paul said it right here in Philippians 4, verse 8, focus on the positive.
Yeah.
Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things of good report, if there's any virtue, if there's anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. The things which you learned and received and heard and saw in me, these do. And what will happen? The God of peace will be with you. I guess, Justin, if I've learned anything in my 21 years now as a minister here at Azalea City, there's always going to be negativity. There's always going to be people that are negative. There's always going to be news that's negative. There's always going to be something negative that you could focus on in the church that maybe not everybody knows about, but you know about because it's behind the scenes or whatever. There's always going to be something. But we have a choice in it. We do not have to choose to focus on the negative. If we, like for instance, I have no idea. It's actually a blessing for me because I have no idea how much trouble's going on the live stream. I'm just up here preaching because I don't have it in front of me. And I might start a new trend. Except on Wednesday nights, because I know we want people to participate. But the point is, I have no idea. But let's just say we've had some glitches because of the weather, because of whatever's the devil, whatever's going on out there. It'll be real easy to be like, oh man, this stupid live stream, we can't, by the way, I said stupid on air, sorry. This I'm going to say it again, this stupid live stream, you know, blah, blah, blah. Theo and Robert, by the way, they're working their heads off up there. Nobody sees that. But it's easy to focus on that. It's easy to focus on that. But you know what? The devil would want nothing more than for us to focus on the garbage. To focus on what's going on in the news. To focus what you see on Twitter. To focus what you see on Facebook. To focus what you see out there and hear out there. But God wants nothing more than for us to meditate on the good things. And that's what we have to do. I'll say these few things and I'm going to turn it over to my buddy here. A negative seed gets planted and it's the devil who pours the water to it. The devil will use our thoughts. He'll use our friends. He'll use our social media. He'll even use our church family to try to divide and conquer. Sometimes instead of a bridge, we'll build a wall. And oftentimes we've included others in our wall. You see, maybe somebody gets, hey, y'all may be mad at Justin and me. I don't know, you ain't told us, but you may be upset with us. And you might, I'm not saying you are, but let's just say this is how it could work. Justin and Terry, we don't like what they've done. We don't like what they're doing. And we go in and we stir that up. Well, guess what? You've got a wall. Now you've got somebody else who's built the wall with you. And now the wall, and now it's going to be harder for us to penetrate the wall. You see, instead of building that wall, let's build that bridge. Isn't that what the cross did? There was a great divide. I've never been to the Grand Canyon. I have seen it. There's a great divide there. In order to get from one side to the other, you got to cross a bridge. There was a great divide between us and God, and the cross laid down the bridge. Jesus is the ultimate peacemaker. He came to bring positivity. He came to bring gentleness. He came to bring rejoicing. And He also came to tell us, you belong. And that's why we must do the same and be peacemakers.
I think it boils down to awareness. Because you're right, there is a lot of negativity around us. There is a lot of negativity in our world. We could have looked at today of being so excited about coming back together. Oh, well, the coronavirus. Oh, the weather. Oh, the whatever. We can focus on the negative, and it's so easy to do in our lives. But it boils down to awareness, understanding that each day, every day, is a new opportunity. It's a new opportunity for hope. It's a new opportunity for change. It's a new opportunity for growth.
Right.
For our area-wide tonight, by the way, kids, I've already sent you a message, but we have an area-wide tonight, another virtual area-wide at 7 p.m. In that, I was given the task, or we were talking about trying to interview some of our senior athletes that have missed their senior season, the last time they're going to be together with their team. And so I told them, I said, hey, I knew Kristen. Maybe she would be willing to do that, Kristen Mears. And I was so thankful I got to spend a few minutes with her. We had to do it through Zoom. But spent a few minutes interviewing her, asking a few questions. How have you grown through this? What was your initial reaction? Tell me a little bit about it. And just watching her explain it, even though I could tell she's probably still fighting back a few tears. Again, another one that will kill me for wanting to, you know, say all this stuff. But she chose to focus on the positive, chose to focus on how she has grown, how this has impacted her life, how it will help her propel her forward. Next time she finds herself in a situation like this, she's grown from this experience. And I just really appreciated her perspective. And I think we can all do that. There are things in our lives that it's so easy to seek out the negativity. It's easier to do that.
That's right.
Sometimes, right?
That's right.
Than to focus on all the things that are positive. We just need to remember that each day provides an opportunity. And when we wake up, We need to maybe even recite that. Hey, it's a new opportunity for hope, for change, and for growth.
Mm-hmm.
Let's have the proper mindset as we roll out of bed each and every morning, knowing that everyone that we come in contact with, everyone that we look at run-ins with in our everyday life, those are people that belong.
That's right.
We have, because of Jesus Christ, a lot to rejoice. There's far more to rejoice about than to be negative about.
No,
right?
No.
To focus on positive than to focus on negative. We can rejoice because of Jesus Christ. And because Jesus did it when He taught and when He was with people, we need to display that gentleness.
That's right.
And then just continue. Let it be a repeating cycle every day to focus on the positive things that are around us.
That's exactly right. You know, if the world would focus on the good rather than the bad, I'm confident there would be less conflict and much more Christ.
Yeah.
You know, and so as we bring it to a close, we want to reach out to those who may be watching, and maybe you aren't yet a Christian. Just please remember you belong, okay? Jesus died for everybody. He's not willing that any should perish.
Mm-hmm.
So if you would like to become a Christian, even though it's raining today, we'll find a way, okay?
Right.
We'll find a way. But if there are those, hey, maybe all of us need to do some repenting.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe all of us, and myself included, Maybe I need to be a better peacemaker. Think of what we can do as far as letting our light shine. If we'll strive to do those four things and to be peacemakers each and every day. I love you and I appreciate you. Mm-hmm. I hope very soon, next week, we're back together.
I am too.
So we'll close this in prayer?
Yes, I will. Let's pray together and then we'll have a few closing announcements. Father, thank you for this great day that you've given us. Even though it's a day filled with rain and a day that, again, that we weren't able necessarily to be all together, Father, I pray that this worship to you has been pleasing and acceptable, Father, but also I pray that all that have been involved, that we can take parts of a lesson or parts of this worship service, take it into our lives to be better people, better Christians, better followers of you. Father, help us truly to be peacemakers. Help us to seek it out. Help us not to be wishers or hopers or have great thoughts or dreams, but help us truly to spend our energy making peace, helping people reconcile their relationship with you and with other people. Father, thank you for the love and thank you for the great example that Jesus Christ displayed. I pray that you will bless us as we leave. Please keep us safe. Please, for all those that may be traveling throughout the week, help us to remain safe. Help us to make a great impact on the world around us. Father, thank you again for Jesus Christ and the hope of heaven He provides. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. Couple of announcements real quick. I've got to say this before I forget. There is a cooler in our kitchen full. I mean, when I say full of squash and zucchini and cucumbers, I mean full of squash, zucchini, and cucumbers. So please, before some of it's been there a week or two, others were picked this weekend, please come and use this. Please come. If you know anybody in the community that could use it, please. We've taken some to various businesses around, other homes around. Please come up here and get it. You certainly can do that anytime during the week. Before it goes bad, it was certainly planted by our teenagers. Brother Roberts had a lot to do with it. So thankful. I think my mom and dad have taken a couple opportunities to go and help us pick it so it doesn't rot on the vine. Or get too big, right? Sister Melba can't have that squash getting too big, or it won't be good or fit to eat. But please come up here this week and get it. Certainly we look forward to being with you. Hopefully, certainly praying about next week. Teenagers, we will not have class today because we have the area-wide this evening. I know Roadrunner's still on for 5 o'clock tonight.
Yeah, we all have power, I mean, I think it's going to be fine. I really do. But we'll strive. Roadrunner's 5 o'clock. We'll get the Zoom out. Mm-hmm. You know me, sometimes I get it out at 4:58, sometimes people text me and remind me, so that's a good thing too. But anyhow, yeah, we'll do that. Let me say though about the garden, that's positive. Mm-hmm. That's something to focus on. I mean, that's really cool. We planted seeds that day. Mm-hmm. Actually, it was the last Sunday we were here.
It really was, yeah. March 15th.
We planted seeds, and now to look out there and know that it's producing fruit, it's, just really cool, mm-hmm. And people can... I don't eat any of it, but others can.
So there's plenty left.
There's
is what he's
plenty
saying.
Left. But I mean, I just still think it's cool that people that love vegetables, it's there for them. Man.
We put two pizzas in the back the other day, and they're gone. But all the vegetables are still
there. You put some Oreos in there. You grow some Oreos out there. I'll be eating them. Now. No. Hey, we love you, church. We appreciate you. It's good to laugh. I can't wait to hear you laughing. And here's why I really can't wait to hear you singing next week. That's one thing I've missed so much in all this. And I appreciate Steve, who's picked out these songs and the, praise and harmony and the church for buying the chance to stream it and all that. But the coming together and singing, and Steve had sent his song list,
he was ready.
He was ready. And so we love you. We'll be ready this coming week. But Wednesday night, Justin and I will be back up here and we'll be talking about the book of Acts and focusing on the early church and the great work they were doing. I love you very much and appreciate you very much.
Have a great week.